you can understand the Bible. As you read what God says to you, as you put it into practice, you will grow as a Christian. But just from time to time, you will come across something in the Bible that is hard to understand.
Welcome to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith. And Colin, you have no idea how refreshing it is for some of us to hear a pastor say, there's some parts of Scripture that are tough to understand.
Oh, many pieces I find very tough to understand. And we're going to look at some verses where that was my experience, even preparing to speak on a verse.
All right, so for those of us who are in God's Word, and we do come across one of these passages, what do we do when that happens?
Well, I think the first thing to say, Steve, is don't get hung up about it. You know, we're not saved by understanding everything in the Bible. And the things that are most important are most clear. And the things that are least clear are, therefore, it follows, not going to be absolutely central. My salvation or even my Christian living today is not going to hang on getting an accurate understanding of an obscure verse. So don't get hung up on it. And remember, you're not alone. The Lord does give pastors and teachers and elders and leaders as gifts to the church. And there are other folks that we can ask. And not just folks today. I find one of the most useful things in studying a verse of Scripture is to say, what did great Christians who've lived before me, what did they make of this? And to be able to consult some of the great thinking, far greater minds than mine, have wrestled with these questions before. And so that can be very fascinating.
Well, today we are going to look at one of these difficult passages. So I hope you'll join us in the book of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 4 as we begin the message, New Urgency. Here's Pastor Colin.
Remember that 1 Peter is really a manual of discipleship. It's telling us everything that we need to know to live the Christian life. And we've been discovering in our journey through this book together that being a Christian involves first a new birth that leads into a new life, and that in this new life that God calls us to and leads us in, there is a grand objective that he's given to us. And we've seen how so much of what Peter has to say revolves around this objective that we are to live in such a way that people who are deeply resistant to the good news of Jesus Christ will come to glorify God. That's chapter 2 and verse 11. And we have seen how powerfully this speaks to our lives today. Because we live for Christ in a culture that holds deeply different values. And around you, at work, at school, even within our own family circle, we can think of people who are deeply resistant to Jesus Christ. In fact, so much so that you can think right now, I'm sure, as I can, of people who you know and are even close to, and it's hard to imagine them ever being followers of Jesus. And God says to us, you are my people, and I'm calling you to live in such a way that on the last day, some of these folks, the highly resistant ones, will come to glorify Christ. Now, that's the challenge. It's a huge challenge for us, not only in our personal circle, but also in our culture as we think of the calling of the whole Church of Jesus Christ. Here we are, one nation, and there's a lot of people in this one nation don't even want to be saying that we are under God. And you know the reason for that, that if we were under God, that would mean that there was someone who could tell us what to do. And there are many people who are deeply, deeply resistant to that. That's why, of course, there is all the debate about the Ten Commandments. We don't want that God with these commandments. That's much too specific. If we're going to be under God, let him be so vague that we can all read into him whatever we choose. Let's have a God who endorses everything that we seek. And so what happens increasingly in the culture is that precisely what happened in the Old Testament, we ditch the God of the Bible and replace him with a God who blesses our own thing. I say these things again this morning because it's important for us not to get discouraged by this. For us to remember in this culture, this is entirely normal. This is how it has always been in every culture throughout human history. Resistance to God is the normal condition of this world. It is the natural condition of men and women. So don't be surprised by it. Don't get discouraged by it. What God calls us to do is to be salt and light in it and to live in such a way that people who are highly resistant will, on the last day, come to glorify God. Now, that's a huge challenge, isn't it? And of course, when we understand the scale of the challenge, we ask the question, well, how in all the world are we to do this? And the heart of 1 Peter is setting out the strategy, and we've been learning it together. Number one, if we are to live in this way, we must seek first to act redemptively. That's chapter 2, verses 11 to 25. Second, we've got to be able to pray effectively. And then thirdly, we saw last time, we are called to speak courageously. God says to us, let the highly resistant world see Christ in you. That's what acting redemptively is all about. And then let them hear Christ through you. And we got to the example of Noah last time. You remember Noah, who was, of course, called to speak to the most highly resistant generation that has ever lived. And when he spoke about Jesus, Jesus spoke through him. And we ended last time with the picture of the ark. Noah was in the ark, and he was brought in the ark safely through the judgment of God and into the new world. And Peter is using that as a wonderful picture to say, well, Christians are in Christ. And as we bear witness to Christ, we have this confidence that on the last day, we will be carried in Christ safely into the new world. Well, that's where we've got to as we come now to 1 Peter and chapter 4. And having introduced this theme of Noah and what it meant for him to enter a new world, in Peter's mind there is this whole issue of the fact that that will happen for the Christian church one day too. And so we've entitled the seventh of our 10 keys, A New Urgency. Let's read from verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Now, I want to pause there for a moment. And I want to ask a question. How many in this congregation this morning are confident that they know what that means? He who has suffered in his body is done with sin. Could we just have a show of hands as to how many mature believers are confident that they know what that means? We have Dr. Barbieri here. He wrote a book on 1 Peter. He should know what it means. I don't expect anyone else here to know what it means. I have to tell you, when I sat down and read this week, I said to myself, what on earth does that mean? Now, I say that for this reason. Obviously, it does not mean that anyone who has had a broken leg or anyone who has gone through treatment for cancer, someone who suffered in the body, it can't mean that that gets you to the point where you never sin again, because that's self-evidently not true. What does it mean? Well, now, here's the reason for me pausing there. Most of the Bible is wonderfully clear. This is the word of God for ordinary people. And I think it's very important for all of us to understand that God has spoken in language that ordinary folks can understand. The Bible belongs in the hands of the people. We deeply believe that. God has given his Holy Spirit to every believer in Jesus. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes and he gives understanding through the word. I want it to be clear in our minds, you can understand the Bible. As you read what God says to you, as you put it into practice, you will grow as a Christian. But just from time to time, you will come across something in the Bible that is hard to understand. I think that happens twice in 1 Peter. We covered one in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 19, where it speaks about Christ preaching to the spirits in prison through Noah, and we kind of scratched our head and said, now what does that mean? It's not obviously clear. Here's another statement in chapter 4 and verse 1, where again, there is not an immediate, obvious understanding of what this means. I'm wanting to make the point this happens two times in this one letter. Don't worry too much when you come across something in the course of your study of the Bible that you do not immediately understand. When you do come to that point, ask somebody who knows more than you do. And remember this, that some of the world's greatest minds have wrestled with understanding the Word of God over thousands of years. So there is no question that has ever occurred to you in regard to the Christian faith that somebody else has not asked before. So I simply want to say, be encouraged in your reading of the Word. God has spoken in language that we can understand. The Bible belongs in your hand, and with the help of the Holy Spirit, you can understand it. But you will occasionally come across things that make you scratch your head, and you say, what on earth does this mean? Don't panic when that happens. Ask somebody who knows more than you do. And if some questions are not immediately resolved, let that rest. Because in the fullness of time, God will make all things clear.
You're listening to Open the Bible with Pastor Colin Smith and a message called New Urgency. It's part of a series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, where we're taking a look at the book of 1 Peter, today focusing on the first 11 verses of chapter 4. If you ever miss a broadcast in the series, come and listen online or listen through the Open the Bible app. That's free. You'll find it at your favorite app store. And you can listen to both the daily and the weekly radio program, as well as finding tools to help you grow in your relationship with Christ. Again, the app is free. Look for it at your favorite app store, or we'll link you to it through the website, openthebible.org. Back to the message. Here is Pastor Colin.
You will occasionally come across things that make you scratch your head and you say, what on earth does this mean? Don't panic when that happens. Ask somebody who knows more than you do. And if some questions are not immediately resolved, let that rest, because in the fullness of time, God will make all things clear. Well, having said that, I went to the books as best I was able in this last week and found this verse indeed to be very fascinating. Let's ask two questions to try and get to what Peter is saying here. He talks about suffering, and he talks, verse 1, about an attitude. So let's ask two questions. What is the suffering? And then what is the attitude? What is the suffering? Since Christ suffered in the body, arm yourselves with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in the body is done with sin. Well, of course, if we look back to chapter 3, we see that Peter has been talking about the way in which Christians sometimes suffer for doing what is right. Verse 14, if you suffer for what is right. Chapter 3, verse 17, if it's God's will to suffer for doing good. So the suffering he's talking about here is not breaking a leg or coming through some kind of illness. It's specifically the price you pay for doing what is right. Now, Jesus did what is right. In fact, that in verse 18 of chapter 3 is why he's described as the righteous one. He was the one who in every way did what is right. And look at the price he paid for it. He suffered for doing what was right. He paid the ultimate price to bring highly resistant people to God. And we now are his followers. And we are going to find that the same principle works out in our lives also, that there will be points at which we pay a price for doing what is right. And that will be part of the way in which highly resistant people come to glorify God. Now, if that's the suffering, what's the attitude? Arm yourself with the same attitude Jesus had when he had to pay the price for doing what is right. He was ready to pay the price. That was his attitude. And so you are to arm yourselves with the same attitude, Peter says. In other words, come to the place where, like Jesus, you are ready to pay the price too. So the suffering is the price that we pay. The attitude is readiness to pay that price. See, the defining mark of an authentic Christian is not when you say a prayer or go forward at a meeting. It's probably not even when you're baptized in front of a crowd of applauding believers. The defining moment of a new Christian is when it costs you something to do what is right. When you make a decision for the first time that you made because you're a follower of Jesus, and you wouldn't have made that decision if you weren't. When you pay a price for what is right, you have some skin in the game. And you value what you paid for. When you pay a price for your obedience, you lose a friend, you lose some money because you did what was right. Then there will be a new clarity in your obedience. There will be a new decisiveness in your living for Jesus. It will change the way that you live the rest of your life. See, when suffering comes to the church, it halves its size and doubles its strength. And that's what will happen in our personal lives when we pay a price. Peter's already said in chapter 1 and verse 7 that the trial of your faith proves its genuineness. Now he's telling us here that the cost of your faith will increase its value in your life. It's going to give direction to the way that you live. And the sooner that we get to that point of that kind of decisiveness, I've paid a price, I've turned my back on the old life, I'm moving forward as a follower of Jesus, and it's clean cut, the sooner we get to that point, the better, because verse 7, the end of all things is near. Now, God has set a day when he will intercept the timeline of human history. He's given us a limited amount of time to complete what he's called us to do. And the best way for us to have a new sense of urgency in our living for Christ is for us to take a look at the time. You know, urgency is helped by taking a look at the time, always. Get on with it. Have a look at the time. Now, I want to have a look at three clocks in our time this morning. Clocks that God gives to us to increase our sense of urgency in living this decisive kind of a life for Jesus Christ. When we have a sense of urgency, we've got no more time for messing about with sin. Three clocks. The first one I'm simply going to describe as your time. And it's what Peter talks about in verse 2 and 3. The one who suffered in the body is done with sin, and as a result, he does not live the rest of his life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God, for you have spent enough time in the past doing what pagans choose to do. Notice that he sees two ways in which a person can live. You can live for human desires or passions. You can live for the will of God. And we all face this choice that either we live simply at the level of what comes naturally, or we live with an intentional commitment to pursue the will of God. And Peter is saying very simply, you've spent enough time simply drifting with natural inclinations. You spent enough of your life compromising with sin. You're coming to the point where it's going to cost to follow Jesus Christ. Be ready to pay the price as Jesus was and get on with it, because you've spent enough time in a compromised, second-rate kind of a Christian life. That's what he's saying. When the day comes when we will stand before Jesus Christ, there isn't one of us who wants to stand before him and say, you know, I had a great life and I fulfilled all of my desires. I don't want to say that when I stand in front of him. I want to be able to say, Lord, I did your will. I did your will. Now, none of us knows how long we have before that day comes. You've spent enough time. Peter's talking about your time. He's talking about the span of your lifetime. There's a limited amount of time given to each one of us. I find it helpful, actually, to think of life as divided up into different stages. I find that brings greater clarity. There are your years in school and college. There are your years of building a career or raising a family. There are those years of midlife. There are those empty nester years for some. There are the years of retirement. You don't get to do any of them twice. You get one chance to live for Christ in high school. My chance to do that is long gone. You get one chance to be a sold-out student for Jesus Christ at college. You get one chance to live your 20s to the max for Jesus. You get one chance to raise a family in a godly way. One chance. You get one run through the treacherous waters of midlife complacency. One chance to overcome that dreaded complacency. You get one chance to finish strong in the years of your retirement. And you know, it's so easy for us to go through life thinking that we're really going to live fully for Christ in the next stage of life. But that in the meantime, we need to carve out a little bit of space for us to do our own thing. And Peter is saying, listen, you haven't got the time to do that. God has given to us this great objective that each of us has a limited amount of time to make our lives count for God. You don't want to stand before him on the last day and saying, I was intending to give myself wholly to you. Stop messing around with sin.
Pastor Colin Smith with a warning and a challenge today as we pause our message. It's called New Urgency, and it's part of a larger series called 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. Well, we'll continue this message on our next broadcast. I hope you make it a point to tune in. If you ever miss a program or you want to go back and listen again, you can do that at our website. It's openthebible.org, and you can stream the program or download an MP3 for free. Again, that's openthebible.org. Well, Open the Bible is listener-supported. We're able to keep Pastor Colin's teaching on this station because of your generosity, and as you give a gift of any amount this month, we'd like to offer you Pastor Colin's book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life. And Colin, the book is based on 1 Peter, but where did the idea of the book come from?
Well, that came from my pastor, Derek Prime, who's now with the Lord. He was convinced that the best way to help a new believer get established in the faith was to take that person through the first letter to Peter. And he had very good reasons for believing this. Here's a letter in the New Testament that addresses all of the basics of the Christian life and brings them together in one place. And of course, there are many, many good resources that help people get established in the Christian faith. Often they take verses from different parts of the Bible, and it can be quite confusing. You know, if you're a new believer, look up this verse in Hebrews and then look up something else in the Gospels and something else from Isaiah in the Old Testament. What's really helpful and what I learned from my pastor is teach a person to learn from one part of the Bible. And as they learn to learn from one part of the Bible, they'll be able on their own to go on and learn from other parts of the Bible as well. And 1 Peter is just a marvelous place to start. And it begins so wonderfully with the theme of living hope through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then it really does address everything that a new Christian needs to get hold of in order to pursue a life of following the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, we want to send you a copy of this book, 10 Keys to Unlock the Christian Life, as our way of saying thank you for your financial support this month. You can find out more or give online at openthebible.org or call us at 877-673-6365. Again, our website is openthebible.org and our phone number is 1-877-OPEN-365. For Pastor Colin Smith, I'm Steve Hiller. Thanks for listening, and I hope you'll join us next time. This program is a listener-supported production of Open the Bible. When are you going to start living for Christ? Three clocks are ticking. Discover what each has to say about how you spend your time. That's next time on Open the Bible.